Good morning, everybody. Welcome to fall. Did it snow at anybody's house last night? No, not mine either. They were predicting it, and you know, I'm kind of glad they dodged that bullet. I still have green tomatoes I need to pull. Oops. I always start the month with a candy bar award because I want to highlight somebody who's done something exemplary or out of the ordinary for the company. And this month it goes to Christina, and it goes let me read, because the managers get together and they think long and hard about how they're going to phrase this. Christina handled our recent unprecedented Cloverleaf project and manually processed over 400 student orders. For those of you who don't know, Cloverleaf was an attempt to break into the public school system. Basically what we do is we pull the Christian materials from our product, and then moms can sign up for this program, get their curriculum for free, which is really a good deal. And the school gets some of the tax money that they would have been. So it's one of those really great win-win situations. But it was an attempt to try something brand new, step into a new market, try something different. That's always its own challenge, as we know in the past, don't we? She designed, created order forms, and made adjustments to the normal ordering process in order to remove religious content from the order form after we had already received over half the orders on the original form. And what that means is, originally, when Greg set this up with Douglas County, they didn't have any problem with the Christian materials. And of course, then the ACLU came in and said, oh, no, you can't sell those. And so anyway, we had to back those out of there. So it was this enormous job, and it was, oh my goodness, mind-bending. She processed those orders in Assist, separating orders to ensure that parents received their content in separately labeled boxes from those the district received. She assisted in picking and packing all the orders, prepared custom invoices for the school district that detailed orders by student, all using a single customer number. Because they're all sold to one place, they all get one customer number. Well, how do you divvy up all the different people that are within that? So she handled all of that. She enabled custom urgent orders to be placed by the district via the Mathtacular website. Very creative, good thinking. Where she would add the item to the site, send the school a link, receive the order via credit card, fulfill the order, and then disable the item from the website. Oh, makes your head spin. Thank you, Christina, for manually processing over $105,000 worth of Cloverleaf orders, problem solving this unique process all along the way, all while tending to your other daily responsibilities. Thank you, Christina. That was wonderful, and you can get a candy bar too.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This month I want to talk about something a little more unusual, and it comes from a conversation my husband John had with a middle-aged woman who works only part-time. She's not married. She often wonders, you know, what her purpose in life is. And John said, how did you get to be this way, where she's barely making it, bumping along, living in a room of somebody's house? And he said, how did you get this way? She said to him, well, I did not have all the advantages your kids had. When he came home and told me that, I'm here to tell you, that took my breath away. Thought, okay, all of us go to school, right? We all go to school, we get a decent education, we all learn how to read, et cetera, right? But what peace was she looking for in her life? And over the next period of time, I think I want to try to unpack some of that. Because if you have a chance, you should go and read Luke's wonderful post where I think it was on Monday of this past week on the Sunlight blog, where he talks about education does not equal jobs. We're often told, you know, that if you get a good education, you'll get a great job, right? Isn't that why we're told to go to college and get a good degree? And he makes a valid point that an education isn't enough. And I think this woman's comment also validates that. So what is it as parents that we need to make sure we teach our children? Doing some noodling on that, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't exactly know what that looks like. But I thought first thing I would like to talk about is punctuality. And the reason I wanted to start with that one is because this gal has tried all kinds of jobs, and the reason she gets fired is she can't get to work on time. Unless you work for yourself, most of us have to get to work on time, right? Isn't it true? I mean, we notice when you walk in late. Shoot, huh? But what happened in her life, as I understand it, her parents never made it anywhere on time. They just didn't get there on time. So the modeling that she should have received, she didn't get. So as homeschooling parents, I'd like to encourage our homeschooling moms to model how to do that. And basically, it just takes counting backwards, right? You look at the time you need to be out the door and you say, okay, takes me this long to do breakfast, takes me this long to take a shower, this long, back up, get to this point. Okay, I'm going to be work on time as long as all these pieces happen, right? Now, my mom, I come from a family that's just the opposite of my husband's family that tends to be always on the late side. And my mom has a saying, you know, even when I'm running late, I hurry so fast, I'm still early. And what that means when you unpack it is she's watching the clock and saying, okay, this is taking longer. What do I cut? What do I adjust? But it's the whole counting back and looking at the time, being aware of how long things take. And that's something that does not necessarily come intuitively to our children, right? It's one of those things that moms need to speak into the lives of the kids. Okay, demonstrate, model, show. Look, I'm looking at the clock. We have to leave in 20 minutes. Therefore, you need to make sure. And I'm pretty sure my mom did that in my life. I don't know if I did it with my kids. I have three that are timely, and I have one not so timely. But I think it's something as moms and as parents we need to be aware of and train our children in. As I was thinking about it, I thought you don't very often see it raised in books, which is, of course, how I often think we need to be teaching things. But I think it is kind of a subtle way, you know, where you have a lot of stories where everybody goes to different places and they show up at different times, and you never have them running and going, oh, sorry, I'm late. Traffic was terrible. You just don't have that happening in books. They just manage to get there on time, right? You just learn to plan and organize your life. We need to model it. So be punctual. And blessings on this person who hasn't figured out how to model that all, and maybe that's something we need to be even training her in. But I think when you're 50-ish, that's not so easy anymore. We probably need to teach it to our children. I think the second thing we need to teach our children is that work is not a four-letter word. I think we live in a society that says work, if you can get out of it, is good. Boy, if you can scam the system and stay home and watch TV all day, you have won. No, don't agree with that. I'm here to tell you that work can be a good thing. And I think I've mentioned that to this group before. We want to make sure we have meaningful, strategic, important work. One of the things I've talked about, how we reward people that figure out how to do work a little more effectively because we don't want to do toil. I think as moms, we have a unique opportunity to demonstrate that to our kids. I don't know if it always happens, but homeschooling moms in particular tend to be people who are researching and looking things up and spending time sharing great ideas with their friends. And in my own life, learned how to recently fold t-shirts, my husband. For years, he always wore two t-shirts every single day. And I'm here to tell you that I folded a lot of t-shirts in my life. And he liked them. He liked them a particular way. So I did a lot of the, and finally I found a video online. Boy, you can fold a t-shirt in about a third the time. I'm here to tell you, that's how he gets his t-shirts at this point in time. But that's an example of moms modeling to their kids how to do work more effectively. We want to get rid of the dull, boring tasks and be learning and growing and doing the things we love to do. Maybe you love to cook. Get the laundry out of the way fast so that the cooking part of things you can do more effectively. Let's see, make sure I covered it all. Let's see. Oh, back to work. Why is work important? Even Adam, perfect Adam, who lived in this glorious garden in the beginning in the Bible, talks about how God created Adam. He worked in the garden. Even Adam, before fall, before sin came into the world, had work to do. I think it's something we're hardwired. I think if you're sitting home watching TV, you have an emptiness in your soul that can only be filled by meaningful work. And I do think we can teach our children very effectively that work is a good thing through the stories we read to our kids. And as I thought about it, one of the ones that comes to mind is just one of our family's favorites. It's Carry On, Mr. Bowditch, which is a story of a little 12-year-old boy whose dad, through lots of issues, ends up putting him in, what are they called? It's Alzheimer's for me, sorry, where he's signed off, he's indentured to a very boring job. Now, this is a brilliant guy who just was born to be a student. He was born to be a professor. He was born to be one of those people that just wowed the world. And he ended up selling boat supplies in a shop. Oh, devastated. He was devastated. How can I do this? But basically what he does is he uses that time in the shop to learn everything he can learn about boats. He uses that time to study in the evenings. He learns second languages. He eventually ends up going to sea on a boat. And he knows the names of everything. He knows the functions of everything on the boat, even before he steps on board ship. And he ends up becoming ultimately a captain of a ship because he's learned all these languages. He's constantly learning and developing and growing. And we can demonstrate. And he gets to the point where, you know, every day work is interesting because he meets different people, he learns different things, he can grow in different ways. And he goes out and honestly does amazing things for the world. He ends up writing a book that saves thousands of sailors' lives. I mean, just really a great character. But for him, work, which could have been a curse, he worked to make it something that was fulfilling and very good in his life. Similarly, in a little book we carry, Shades of Gray, there's a boy who comes from a well-to-do family who's never done a chore in his life. He moves in with his aunt and uncle, who are very poor, and ends up becoming a part of the family as he learns to do different chores. These can be good lessons for our kids, to learn that's a good thing to do, to work. All of our kids had the advantage of working at Sunlight from when they were very young. All of them did create, you know, put together science kits, and I don't even think they got paid for that back in the day. But, you know, all of them are good workers, and I do attribute that to the fact that they haven't had an opportunity to learn that work can be a good thing to do at a very young age. I think back to this woman that I've started thinking about this all. You know, she works part-time as little as she can so that she's free to do whatever comes up. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. You're missing out on the point of the fact that work can be a good thing. Be a thinker. Be a learner. And I've kind of alluded to that already when I talk about Nathaniel Bowditch. She's a learner. One of the examples I used for on my paper here is a book we carry called Little Britches, which is the story of a boy and his family that moved to Colorado to try to save their dad's life. He has been working in a mill, and they try to build this ranch. He does go to school as little as he can, because he would really rather come up with creative ways to make money. He's one of those people that, you know, boy, if I work this angle, or if I do this kind of a thing, you know, he's just constantly thinking through. If, for example, his family moves to this older home, and they want to plant a garden. Well, the soil's terrible, so they're out there digging it up. And he thinks, boy, it would be really great if I had some chicken manure for here. So he goes to the different people in the town, goes, can I clean out your chicken coop? And by gum, if they didn't pay him to do that. And then he took all the manure home and put it in the garden. Just a very creative thinker in how to work life better. We need to train our children that bosses like people who are thinking. I think that's another reason we give the candy bar award. We want people who are not just filling a chair. Sometimes you get the mindset, well, I show up, that's enough. You know, for most bosses, that's probably not enough. And to raise up kids that recognize that as they think about how to work and how to do things more effectively, they're just adding to the value in the life of their employer. We honor people who streamline how we do things. I mean, we read biographies on Thomas Edison because he makes our life easier, right? We honor people like Robert Fulton, who builds a steamboat and streams us up the river, and we don't have to row upstream anymore. We honor those people because they add to our life, right? They give freedom to us to do not toil, but creative work, right? We don't have to sail up the river. Raising kids, we don't necessarily want to raise our kids by just sending them to the best schools. We also want to build into our life skills and talents and abilities that will stand them in good stead all of their lives. Thanks so much. Questions? Yeah. I hope I don't have any. And you'll get more of these because I've been thinking about it a lot. But.